Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And boy, this bitter cold, it was preceded by wonderful warm temperatures, and no one really felt like it was winter until these last 2 weeks. And then, boy, did it blow in.
It's been brutal. I just saw a post a little bit ago, if I'm not mistaken, the arbor doctor, Ron Rothaus. He posted, I think we have seen close to, we've not broken the freezing point since Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a heck of a run right there.
It really is.
And you think about it, it almost reminds me, Ernie, of going back to the winter of 2012. And 13 was somewhat of a repeat of 12.
Right.
There were some issues the following spring season.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those plants that are a little bit more temperamental, especially when it comes to the colder temperatures, here's what we can expect. Hopefully it may not be the case. And it's those plants like crepe myrtles, okay? They're a little bit more temperamental in our zone. And because of that, you know, the winter can be a little detrimental on them. It can really set them back somewhat.
Right.
You can see a fair amount of dieback. So don't be surprised. Another plant that comes to mind that is very temperamental in these kind of temperatures is lavender. I think we had record sales on lavender the spring of 2013 because a lot of people lost their lavender in the winter of 12.
Right.
And it's just, that's part of the game, you know. And again, I don't want, just because what we're talking about this morning, to deter you to ever think about some of these plants, because they're wonderful species in the garden and in the landscape. But these are just things as a gardener, be it if you're experienced or you're just a novice, these are the things that we risk doing when we plant some of these plants. But I think the reward that these plants give us with their blooms and fragrances and so forth is well worth its weight in gold, so to speak, for a lack of a better term. Butterfly bushes, you know, we're going to talk about some of the newer varieties later in the show. Butterfly bushes can somewhat be a little temperamental in these kind of temperatures.
Mm.
The cherry laurels, oh my gosh, I remember it after 2012, the otolucans, you know, the skips. They were beaten up pretty badly. And these are just things that when we start bringing plants into our zone that are more suitable south of us a little bit, those are the risk that we chance taking. So, don't let that, you know, deter you by any means. Again, I want to put some emphasis on that. Evergreens as well. You know, this is when our evergreens, this is why it's important when we go into the fall months. And if we have a dry spell during the fall season, we're talking about, we're emphasizing, water these evergreens, water your evergreens. So important. You get to these temperatures where the surface of the soil starts freezing and it gets really windy. Those wind chills, and you get down to that zero mark. These plants have the, unfortunately, they'll transpire moisture. They lose moisture.
Right.
And because of that, you know, that's when we see damage in the spring when we turn the corner. We talk about boxwoods. You know, a few years ago, boxwoods were beaten up pretty badly. And, you know, I say this all the time, Ernie, go through season after season after season with healthy boxwoods is really doing a couple of things throughout the season that keeps them healthy, keeps them out of that stress mode.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is using the systemic drench early in the spring, or if you do it late in the summer or early fall, that keeps the insects off of your boxwoods. You know, we're talking about the psyllids, we're talking about the leaf miner. Keeping plants healthy, less stress, it makes for a happier plant, and they go through the winter a lot easier. You know, we talk about fertilization with our boxwoods, you know, evergreens like that, acidic type based fertilizer, doing that, keeping them adequately moist going into the fall months, especially so they can endure that winter. Mulching, we talk about that a lot too, you know, keeping the ground properly mulched. It does a number of things for us. It just doesn't keep the ground warm in the winter. It keeps the ground constant. And when I say constant, look at what you just threw our way, Al Sleet. Next Wednesday, what'd you say? We're going to push 60?
Could be 60 up by Thursday.
Those fluctuations are not good on plants,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have those in containers. We talk about that a lot. You know, those fluctuations, the more that those temperatures, that soil temperature fluctuates, the more difficult it is for that plant to adapt, or it's harder on that particular plant. So there's a lot of things that are going to come into play here, and we're certainly not out of this. You know, okay, we've been hovering in the single digits for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The Arctic blast has been brutal. Look what's happened up on the East Coast. What do they call that? Now we named the winter storms Grayson.
The cyclone bomb or something like that.
That was incredible. All that water in Boston. And now we're going to flip the switch and get into the upper 40s, 50s, and near 60. That is not good. Not good at all. And that really confuses a lot of plants, you know. I just, we need snow.
Yeah.
That's an insulator.
A lot of it, too.
We definitely need that. So there's a lot of concerns. You know, you were asking earlier in the show about, what were you asking about your magnolia?
Oh, I was wondering, it's the first time I remember seeing these big buds on it this early in the year. Normally, I wouldn't see those until around February or March, I would think.
You should, and that's a good sign. That you know that plant's relatively healthy. It's doing well. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's when we talk about people who are having stress issues with plants late in the summer, going into fall, especially with trees and shrubs. It's like, you know, do you see bud development for the next season?
Mm-hmm.
That's key. That's important.
See, my first thought was, I hope this isn't going to be the worst thing that happens to us is we just love that tree and then we'll see those buds start to crack open, and then suddenly there's another big frost late in the spring, and then poof, they're gone.
You don't need to really worry about it from that standpoint, because Mother Nature, that tree knows better than you. How many years has that tree been there?
It was there when we moved in 32 years ago.
And it went through those brutal winters, the 12 and partly 13?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. I wouldn't worry much about it.
I've been working with it.
You've been working with it.
Yeah.
That scares me.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment when we come back.
You know, let's switch gears and head into the direction of New Year's resolutions, especially if you're a gardener.
Oh, yeah. And you ever get any strange calls down at the garden center?
I got hacked by Big Dave, and we'll come to that when we come out of the break. You'll enjoy it.
We'll be right back.
Since we started doing the phone hacks, there's been one person in particular that I've wanted to phone hack.
Oh, really?
And that's our friend and co-worker and owner of Jackson Florist, host of In and Around the House, Saturday mornings with Tony and Ernie here on B105. Tony Works.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Inspired by my gift at the Christmas party, the Instant Pot, I'm going to call up Tony Works and be a very confused person looking for Instant Pot. Here we go. It's a dream come true.
Jackson Flores, can I help you?
Is Tony Works around, please?
One moment. May I ask who's calling?
This is Steve.
Steve, and your last name?
Grayson.
Okay, and what is this in regards to?
Somebody told me that I needed to speak with Tony about a certain item.
Okay, one moment, please.
Good morning, this is Tony.
Tony?
Yes.
Hey, this is Steve Grayson. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Somebody recommended me to call you about an item I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
Have you got stuff for gardens?
For gardens?
For gardens, yes.
Yeah, we sell stuff for, we do stuff for gardens.
What I'm trying to find is some of that Instant Pot.
What's it called, Instant Pot?
Instant Pot, yeah.
I'm not familiar with it. Tell me a little bit about it.
Instant Pot, they say it grows pot really fast.
Like reefer pot?
A pot.
Is it a soil or is it a pot?
It's just pot.
I'd have to look this up. You got a contact number?
It's one word. Instant Pot.
Got it. Okay. And let me, I'm not familiar with it. Not that it's not available through any of my sources, but, you know, let me look and find out.
Have you never heard of it?
No.
Because if it lives up to its name, I'd be real interested in it.
Well, let me, if you, where have you seen it?
I've seen them on TV, the commercials, and it made me really want to try the Instant Pot.
Yeah, I'm always here at work, so very rarely do I watch TV, but let me look it up. You want to call me back in a couple minutes, or you want me to call you?
Yeah, I can't believe you've never heard of Instant Pot.
No, If I see it, I might recognize it, and I might notice another term or another name.
Okay, well, can I give you my number?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, it's 513-749-B105.
Oh, this is Dave. You're goofy.
Morning, buddy.
And I could not look at Stat the whole time. I was...
Well, you know what? When you said that, I'm thinking, are you talking about pot? Like, recently? What?
I'm talking about... You've never heard of the Instant Pot? It's that new thing. It's the new pressure cooker crock pot.
Dog, I hope you're on the air one day. I'm going to pull one on you.
Oh, no. Payback.
Tony works from here around the house, everybody.
That was good. That was good. I'm like, well, what are you talking about?
Well, you know what? I just thought it'd be fun to mess with you there. I've been always dying to try to get you on one of these, and I thought, actually, at our Christmas party this year, our company Christmas party, yeah. I won an Instant Pot.
Okay.
And I've made a pot roast and
meatloaf,
a meatloaf in it. So, but I thought a little play on words would be appropriate
for you. Carrie, she's a lucky person to have you now cooking in that.
Hey, by the way, though, while I got you on the horn, you know I love those hot peppers, and this year my goal is to grow Carolina Reaper. Are you going to be able to help me get a plant for that?
I can help you with that. Not a problem.
Awesome. Awesome.
You're killing me with that Instant Pot.
Tony Wirtz, you hear him every Saturday morning here on B105 from 6 to 9, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. You know, I mean, there's a reason why I didn't call Ernie with that question. I want you to know.
I'm not even going to ask.
Thank you, Tony.
Good one, Big Dave. I appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, I would have known.
Did he burn me or what?
He did. That was great. You were trying to be as polite as you could.
Oh, I was. I was ready to go to guns. Like, are you serious?
Yeah,
you know, what county are you from? But
Muhlenberg.
So, that was good.
Right. And Big Dave and, of course, Chelsea and Stat every morning during the week here at B105. That was fun. So did you make your New Year's resolution to find out more about Instant Pot?
Absolutely. right after that phone call, I left the store and went out to look for it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Good for you.
No, have you seen it? Are you familiar with it?
No, I was just, remembered him winning that thing at the Christmas party,
right.
You know, and I didn't think anything of it. It was like a high-end crock pot. So I just, it was pretty funny how that led to this phone hack.
Oh, it was perfect. And unfortunately, I didn't make the Christmas party, so I wasn't even aware of what Dave had won.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, who is this hick? and I wasn't really sure what he was saying. There's a lot of noise in the background. And as a matter of fact, in the office, Brenda and Tina, they both were on the phones taking orders. And she said to me, she was ready to throw something at me because I was loud. I didn't think I was too loud, but that was just...
Pretty funny.
That's okay, Dave.
Now, God bless your employee down there who was trying to get all the information she could before she got you on the phone. But
that was Trisha nice. Arlinghouse.
Yeah.
And she's our best designer, and she's our manager in the design room. She does a great job, and I can't say enough about her work, but that was great. She's looking out for me, but didn't quite catch Big Dave in the hack. So, but it was good. It was. I enjoyed it. I got cooked. I always like a good joke.
Yeah.
And Dave, beware.
I think so. Yeah. I think you'll get even.
I think I will.
So when we went into the break, you were talking about New Year's resolutions. Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Well, a couple years ago, one of my personal New Year's resolutions was to gain weight, which I did, but I didn't gain as much as I wanted to. You know what I mean?
No, I do. Yeah.
Usually everybody wants to lose weight at the end of the year. I want to start smoking, which I couldn't. All that good stuff. You know, I want to quit drinking, which I couldn't.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of resolutions that I come up with personally that I know that I won't fail.
Right. That's a good move.
It's a great move. What about you?
Nah, I gave those up many, 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 many moons ago. The one that kind of caught my eye this past week was it's the first week of January after everybody makes those resolutions about losing weight, and Girl Scout cookies go on sale. So I'm out.
For that reason, I'm out.
On December 31st, I can say, oh, I'm going to lose weight. And then I see that first thing that starts floating around the station with someone's girls are selling Girl Scout cookies. And I like to contribute to charitable organizations as much as I can. But I also contribute to my waistline, too.
Well, you know, and I know that you're sitting in front of the TV. Maybe Big Dave is, too, since he watches a lot of TV. Watching all the Marie Osmond
weight loss
programs. And you'll see a flurry of those. And actually, did you notice last year that those weight loss television commercials didn't just stop early in the season? They went on throughout the summer months, so they didn't stop. They were trying to program you.
Sure.
They were going after you.
They were targeting me.
They were targeting you. But anyway, those are my resolutions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those for the gardener. What do you think?
I think one of the things that we emphasized late in the fall was to start a journal. And maybe that should be one of the first resolutions that gardeners or novice people who are going to start should maybe start thinking about. Because I'm going to keep a journal this year.
You know, that's kind of like on my list here. It is to document, you know, things going on in the garden. Absolutely. You know, track your progress, the new projects that you get into, keep up with it. You know, and there's also, I always like to, things I plant newly to take notes. Like the height of the plant, the width of the plant,
right?
You know, what kind of growth rate do I get? So I'm with you on that. I think that's a good idea. You know, the other one I think that comes to mind first for me is cleaning out the old garden shed or the basement or the garage. We have a lot of unused items, you know, and there's also a lot of those unused items that are gardening related from the standpoint of, you know, fungicides, insecticides, and various things like that that I think that we need to get rid of. You know, a lot of times, you know, you really get a good effective three to five year shelf life out of most of those products. And maybe sometimes a little less. You don't know how long that they've been in production or on the store shelf. Not that I'm telling you that we're selling bad or outdated things, which we are not. But, you know, it's always like, you know how you get that, you know, like you guys have been buying all those new cars, the new truck with the remote start, and you'll have it for a year, two, or three, and it's still the new car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still think that when you bought that chemical or that fungicide or whatever, it's still relatively new, and we forget, you know, how fast time goes by.
Yeah.
So I think getting rid of things like that is really important. Also, along that same line, paint.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if you have a lot of paint cans around, maybe stuff. I know you like to mix it.
I always try to
mix a lot.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
You know.
So I think discarding expired materials and things that have gone unused out of the shed or the garage is a good resolution.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Time to just get rid of it, but do it wisely. You know, wait till there's one of those disposal days, either at the county.
Check with your municipality. Mm-hmm. They do. They'll have those special days when you can drop off various things.
Right.
You know, like in your case, I know you have a lot of tires laying around. You know, those aren't easy to dispose of. A little $5 get rid of fee. Yeah, disposal fee. What about you? Anything else that you can think of in the gardening realm that's
Working around the house a lot, and maybe my New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. and I'm certainly so be happy to hear this, is to finish one project.
Well, that's where that journal comes into play.
Just get one finished.
I wish you would. Yeah. But the good news is,
over the vacation time, we did do an awful lot of work down in the basement bedroom and closet. We had the drywall up and finished taking out the last pieces that I needed to run some wiring that needed to be moved. And now that is finished, we have a couple of pieces to rehang and then start finishing.
Got it.
And that's going to be the deal there, is to try to get that finished so we can get ready. Because these are winter projects, you know, down around the basement, the living space, or in the laundry room and stuff like that. And then
that's where I hang out, laundry room. That's a good hangout. I'm with you. Fix it up, Ernie. You know, I'm going to stay in the plant world with resolutions. And I'm going to say, I want to encourage people to plant something different, something that they've never planted before, especially with annuals.
Yeah.
You know, people have a tendency to plant the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can tell you one right off the bat.
If you pardon the play on the words, go out on a limb.
Go out on a limb. And don't allow Ernie to hand you a saw.
How's that?
So right. I think plant something different.
Yeah.
My aunt, for example, bless her heart, she always plants red geraniums with vinca vine every year in her
every
box.
Year,
I'm like, come on, Aunt Bonnie, change that up. You know? So I think take the initiative, the risk to plant something different that you've never planted. Maybe you've always been wanting to plant.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to lose something either. You know, I always say a sign of a good gardener is somebody who has lost a plant. So take the risk. Plant something different that you've never planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a risk. Try something new.
Plant something in the garden or in your landscape that's maybe a native species by chance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that they're trying to enhance their garden to attract pollinators by adding native species to the landscape. So I think that would be a wonderful idea, a resolution for the avid gardener
mm-hmm.
and also the novice as well. So that would be something worth doing. And Ernie, I think this is important as well. Take a youngster, a child, and plant something with him or her.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Summer bulbs.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about that in the fall because they can, you know, see the rewards of what they did in the fall, especially when you're planting fall bulbs. But obviously, we can't do that now. It's too cold. But we have the summer months coming up, and it could be a vegetable plant.
Sure.
You know, tomato plant. Bless you, my son. Bless you.
That would be a great resolution to introduce someone to gardening. Introduce a new gardener. Or
that's right. You know, we need young gardeners right, in the worst right. way.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guy, has been talking about New Year's resolutions. And when we come back,
we're going to keep those New Year's resolutions going because I have a few more ideas for you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Getting ready for our special guest coming up in about an hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the doctor making some house calls. And we also were talking about some home remedies. And, you know, my mom used to always, when we were ill at home, she would, of course, make the traditional homemade soups and stuff like that. But homemade eggnog or some homemade buttermilk would be one of her cures too, if you had an upset stomach or were having trouble anywhere where you couldn't keep food in you. That would be one of the ways she could get some protein to you and some.
What? Why the buttermilk?
Well, that was after the.
That one kind of bothers me. I like buttermilk biscuits.
That was one of Dad's after the Yellowstone 90 proof flu went through.
Oh. I'm really cringing now. All right. You're killing me. Anyhow, we were talking about, you know, this is the time of year as well as we turn into the new 2018 season. As cold as it has been, Ernie, I just got this hankering. I can't wait till it warms up and we can get right back out into the garden mm-hmm. again or out into the landscape. It just, when it's brutal like it's been, it's not fun. It's horrible. It's just, everything's gray. We need color, you know, but what can we do?
Simple
solution. You know, a lot of the year-round garden centers, we're still open every day.
Mm-hmm.
Stop in. We're starting to get in new things. New things are starting to arrive. And some of those things, you know, they may not be there quite yet, but just get ready because in the next couple of weeks, you're going to start seeing a lot of the seed starting supplies arriving into the garden centers and being set up and put out on display. You're going to see a lot of the new seed packets coming in and so forth. And it's not too early to get out and start picking up those items. It's a little too early to start starting. How do you like that? To start starting.
Hey. Well, begin at the beginning.
Beginning to begin, yes. It's not too early to think about starting just by gathering those things. You know, being ready, having them on deck.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes time, then go ahead and start sowing your seed and doing all that good stuff. You know, and one of my favorite seed catalogs that comes in every year is the one from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. It just, there's so many different unique things about what they offer the consumer. A lot of heirloom seeds, the stuff that you don't typically see. It's not the stuff that you see every day that's for sale in a retail environment. There's a lot of various heirloom types of vegetables and so forth that you will find in this particular company's catalog. And if you don't have it, look them up. It's www.rareseeds.com. That's mm-hmm. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. One of my favorite seed catalogs that that you get every year. And inside it, the photographs are just phenomenal. It makes you want to just reach into that photograph and, and pick a strawberry out of there or what have you. So this is one of my favorites. And it's one of my favorites because they offer things that you typically don't see. Now, obviously, and maybe some of my my cohorts in the industry are saying, Tony, why are you talking about seed catalogs? It's only for this reason. It's stuff that we typically don't see and we typically don't find in their heirloom seeds. But nonetheless, I still want you to stop at your local garden centers and nurseries because we have a great selection of seed as it starts arriving here in the next week or two, whenever. Some people already have seed in, but start thinking along those lines is what I'm saying. So the Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds catalog is one of my favorites.
Right.
Another one, too, excuse me, is one called Totally Tomatoes. Can't go wrong there. We all like tomatoes, do we not?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of interesting varieties of tomatoes. Also a lot of pepper seeds as well. Excuse me. Maybe I need to see Amy when she comes in, Dr. Haney. So, you know, Totally Tomatoes seed catalog, that should already be at your front door. It seems as if they're starting to send these out earlier and earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vermont Seed Company is another good seed catalog. And I'm sure that you have your own seed catalog company that's one of your favorites. But start thinking about that stuff and start thinking about the seed starting items that are necessary to be successful when you're starting seed. And one of those are the heat mats. We've been selling more heat mats in the last couple of years than we have in prior years. And a lot of people are starting to really find out that it is a huge benefit to heat that soil. And soil temperature is all about, you know, how quick and when things germinate. So if you're starting seeds indoors, most people will put their seed that's in a container up on top of a refrigerator or something that's warm, some sort of an appliance.
Yeah.
But with a heat mat, you can expedite that whole process and get those soil temperatures up there for germination. So look for the heat mats at your local garden centers and nurseries. And it's a nice gift to give to the avid or the novice gardener. Say it all the time. It's one of those things that sometimes people will not look for or think about or buy for themselves.
Yeah.
So the heat mat, it's a huge tool to have when you're germinating seed and you enjoy doing those kind of things. Also, you know, use a good soil mix. Don't use those heavy soil mixes. You'll be sorry that you did. The heavy soil mixes stay wet too long. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're experiencing like root rot and things like that, stem rot, various diseases. It stays wet too long. That's not what you want. You want a good soil medium that's really fine, that seed will take root in, and it's easy to, you know, just for root penetration.
Right.
So there are soil mixes that are specifically made for seed starting. And also, if you're into the organic way of gardening, you can also buy soils that are organic. So nothing wrong with that. That's becoming more and more popular. I see it all the time. I see a lot of young mothers coming into the garden center with kids, strollers, getting them actively involved in seed starting, and they're looking for organic items. I love it. So look for that seed starting mix that's specified for seed starting indoors. Also, look for like a gentle fertilizer. You know, fish emulsion is one that I like to use a lot because it's got an element of nitrogen to it when you're growing things, and it's non-burning. It's not going to burn your new seedlings when they're starting to, you know, as they're getting in that developmental stage. So that really is important in itself. I also like to look for, and you can find these like at a little dollar store somewhere, Dollar General, Big Lots. I like to use little sandwich containers. You know, something like you would pack a sandwich in for a lunch.
A brown bag?
Well, Ernie Brown. Only you would think of that.
Yeah.
But I like to use those type of containers when I start seeds because it's manageable. And I can put like 4 or 5 or 6 of those on a heat mat.
Hmm.
So when I find those containers, I usually discard the top. I don't need the top. I will take a drill, cordless drill, and I'll drill several drain holes in the bottom of those sandwich containers. Mm-hmm. And I'll put my soil in there. I'll sprinkle a seed on top. And then just a little bit of soil on top of that,
right,
on top of the seed. You really don't want to cover your soil more than 1/8 to 1/4 inch in thickness. That's a little too much.
Right.
But using those individual like sandwich containers, let's say, for example, this is where you get the flexibility to sow like spinach, maybe lettuce in one, maybe basil in another, and something else. And not everything germinates at the same time. So what that allows you to do when you're seed starting and doing this kind of task or projects at home, once one of those start to get up and they get past their initial, you know, couple of leaves, the secondary leaves, and start putting on new growth, you can pull those off one at a time and work with one while the others are still have yet to germinate.
Okay.
So you get a little bit more flexibility there. So those are good things just to pick up at the dollar store. And also look for a lighting type of system. That's important as well. And it can be a fluorescent light. That works just as well as some of the more expensive fancy plant bulbs that have all these certain UV light kind of elements to it. Some of those bulbs are quite expensive. They can run you $100 or more.
Wow.
Hey, you can buy a lot of produce at the farmer's market for that.
Yeah.
So really, just go out, purchase or pick up, you know, an inexpensive lighting system. You can buy those at the hardware store all the time, and that's sufficient enough. And also set up some sort of a mechanism to where you can drop that down on a chain, and it's real close to the seed. The higher up you put that or you place that over the seed, that's when your seed starts to get a little, you know, what we call like lanky, you know, starts leaning in one direction for more light. And when you start seed a little too early indoors, that becomes a major, major problem.
Right.
And if you ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. If you start seed, that has happened to all of us. So keep that in mind. Start the seed at the appropriate time. And we'll talk more about it as we progress here through the first couple of months of the new year. But I just want to entice you to start thinking about getting out to the garden centers, looking for those seed starting items. Be ready. And also, one of those resolutions was to get the young kids involved in this whole process. I can't think of anything funner to do, more fun to do than that. Funner. My wife, if she heard that, she may have heard that because she should be up right now. Tony, bite your tongue. You think that's funny?
Fun. More fun.
I catch myself doing that all the time.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We make your morning funner. When we come back.
Do I ever get pranked? Big Dave hacked me big time. So I want you to hear that. You'll enjoy this little episode. Big Dave on the morning show with Chelsea and Stat gave me a call at the garden center, and I was thinking, who is this? Mm-hmm. But you're going to really enjoy it. Stick around.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's going to be a great day to get to your locally owned garden center and get ready for the season. We've been talking about some beautiful new plants. We're going to continue that conversation right now.
Right now. You know, we're talking a little bit before we went into the break about some of the newer introductions for 2018, and we're going to continue that. And we always like blooms, and especially this time of year when it's just gray every day, you want to see color.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also see color, not only just in blooms, but also with foliage, you know, I think a lot of times we get really lost in the fact or the idea or the anticipation of watching a plant go into bloom,
right,
when in fact, just the foliage alone of an attractive plant can give you color without you being on edge and like, I want blooms, because, you know, it's not always about the bloom.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. Blooms are important, especially for pollinators. But foliage, too, just really can make another accompanying or a type of a companion plant next to it in the landscape or in a container mm-hmm. or in a window box just stand out, just pop. And one of those, now this is the two that I'm going to talk about right now have been around, but they're just newer varieties of a plant that we know as Hypoestes. We also call it the polka dot plant as a common name. And it can take a little bit more sun, but it also likes a little bit of shade as well. And it just look for hippo red or hippo rose. More foliage presence with this particular variety. And it's, again, it's not about the bloom with this particular plant. And those who are familiar with this know exactly what I'm talking about when you're using it in mixed containers. We talk about the three components or the three elements of a mixed container, and that is usually thriller, filler, and spiller. Hypoestes will make for a great filler in your pots if you get like morning sun up to the very early part of the afternoon and then the rest of the day shade. You cannot beat the foliage color of Hypoestes, also commonly called the polka dot plant. So look for hippo red or hippo rose and tell me what you think about it. And, you know, again, it's foliage to me can be more striking than a bloom itself on a plant that looks kind of boring. When you get both, okay, when you get both, man, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting your cake. And you're also able to eat it as well.
And eat it too.
Eat it too. Yes. Now, here's another one that just, I was awestruck by it. And you're going to probably think, huh? And think, I can use this from a culinary standpoint. And you might be able to, but this is more grown for an ornamental value. So don't think just culinary. This is a plant called ornamental oregano. Kirigami, K-I-R-I-G-A-M-I, Kirigami. This is new for 2018, and Pan American Seed, I think they are the breeder, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Kirigami, and as a matter of fact, Ernie, if you check out our Facebook page, and for those who are Facebookers, you can certainly see this particular plant on our Facebook page. It's attractive. Very
like
colorful.
Me, like it's, me, attractive.
Yeah, well, you're more attractive than Kirigami, no doubt about it. But this is an ornamental oregano that I really want you to look for, too. And I have to get my paws, my hands on these as well, in our garden center because I'm talking about them. And I think they're well worth looking into. So look for an ornamental oregano called Kirigami. And if you really want to see it, it's also on our Facebook page as well. So I think that's going to be another one well worth considering, to say the least.
Sure.
And last but not least, I can go on and on and on about.
Oh, please somebody. Do.
No, I feel like I'm robbing and taking your air. I'm sucking your air because you're the other
important, I get my fair share.
Hey, you are the other important cog to this in and around a house organization. Has anyone told you recently how important you are to us?
No.
You better say yes, because you don't know who's listening. But last but not least, okay, all kidding aside, there's a company out there that's a breeder called Hort Couture, and they do some really interesting things. And but you don't see a lot of it. And it's because, you know, various growers, you know, getting, you know, various plants and paying for the patents and all that stuff, the royalties and so forth when you're growing these plants. And there's a lot of that behind the scenes that you do not know as a consumer. A lot of times when we're buying plants that we see advertised on TV, there's a lot of royalty exchange in the background. Between those who are the breeders and those who are the growers. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, that comes into play. And that also increases the price of a plant. So when breeders, you know, I'll give you a perfect example, like Proven Winners, Hort Couture, that tag, that pot, cost the grower. It cost us, the retailer. It costs everybody. So they're also bringing us new varieties. So when we pay for that, we're getting the best of all worlds. We're getting new introductions. You know, we're getting nice packaging. We're getting a plant that's been true, tried, and tested, supposedly and hopefully. But there's a lot to that. And a lot of times when you stop into the local garden center nursery and you think, oh, they're not as inexpensive as the box stores, I'm here to tell you, we're all almost the same. The box stores are starting to figure it out, and they know if they want the good stuff like what we're bringing to you from the local garden centers and nurseries, they got to ante up. They got to pay as well. And those products, things are starting to balance out. But, you know, keep that in mind. And it's all about marketing, Ernie.
Yes,
and it's all about branding. But we're talking about these various plants, and I'm talking about the one from Hort Couture. And this is the most interesting plant that I saw at the expo at the short course. And it was a variegated butterfly weed plant with an orange bloom, Asclepias, called Monarch's Promise. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very, very attractive. Now, if you want to check that out, you can certainly go out on our Facebook page and see it, because I posted Monarch's Promise, the butterfly weed, along with the ornamental oregano. Just, I want you to see how much foliage really comes into play when we're looking at various plants and how important that is. You know, it's like the evergreens that we get the yellow hue to, or some of the evergreens that have more of a blue tone to it. You know, it's about those hues. It's about those color variations. And I thought that the Asclepias Monarch's Promise was very interesting, to say the least. Now, what about its hardiness? I can't really truly tell you that. You know, that's going to be one of those things as we go by and time will tell. But check those out on our Facebook page. It's just a lot of exciting things that are available to us. And boy, by all means, I know all of us who are in the garden center world, we want to bring it to you.
Sure.
And check it out.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment. We're getting ready for our special guest coming up in a few minutes.
Dr. Amy Haney. And if anybody in the family, you have some questions about influenza and what's going on, you definitely want to hang out with us in the 8 o'clock hour, because we're going to bring it to you with some interesting facts. And also, when we come back out of this break, I just want to touch on a little bit of what the zoo said performed best for them in 2017 from an annual standpoint.
We'll be right back.